London town had me low, and it had me down.
Oh, yeah, it is a foggy start to our day today. A reminder that we often will get on the text line is, remember, running lights not good enough. Flip your lights on. If you're out driving in the communities, in the highways today, we are hearing about thick and heavy fog in Saskatoon, in Regina, on the highways. Lots of great texts coming in, but visibility is not good in parts. I'm hearing some places 50 meters is about as far ahead of your vehicle as you can see. Other places it's lifted as well. So I, number one, appreciate all of the techs keeping us up to date on this. And number two, remind you to throw your lights on if you're out on the highway today or even driving around the city. It's an extra precaution that helps keep everyone safe. Welcome to Wednesday, midweek, and another packed show. We've got lots of different things to talk about today. Brand new firearm legislation from the province introduced to protect firearm owners further. We're going to get to that in just a little bit here. Also on the program today, the mid-year update of the financial picture for the province. Not rosy. I mean, you remember back in March, March 20th, we had the finance minister on the program and he said, we are projecting a very slim, like razor slim surplus in the budget, $12 million. Well, it's not there. $427 million deficit at the halfway mark. What's causing that? What are the pressure points? We've got Finance Minister Jim Ryder joining us at 9:30 this morning. We're going to talk murders. We're going to talk bird butchering, call for service to the police. We're going to talk about a recent swatting prank that had serious consequences with Regina Police Acting Chief Laura Lee Davies on the program at 10 o'clock. Rent control brought up in the ledge here on Monday by the opposition NDP, a proposal to try and find a way to secure some cost of living assurity for those that rent in the province. There are some people say this is a bad idea. We are going to do a check-in today. That'll be back as a topic. Saskatchewan's smartest radio listener coming up. And just before lunch, is this a world custom made for right-handed people? 12% of the population. And I'm not one of them, by the way. I'm right-handed. But 12% of the population are in a good position to answer that because 12% are left-handed. At 11:30, we'll talk about a right-handed world. This is a conversation I got into recently with a lefty. And by lefty, I mean left-handed. And I had my eyes open to some of the things that I take for granted every day that are maybe not quite as easy for left-handers. We'll have that talk at 11:30. All right, let's get going. Here is today's Big Talker.
Let's get down to business, shall we?
Welcome. Let's begin.
The Evan Bray Show. The Big Talker.
Well, this is a story, a conversation that you and I have had many times over the last couple of years. The federal government buyback program when it comes to military-style weapons, and that even that definition has grown exponentially. What, some 2,500 guns are on this list. This has been, I've used the word debacle, and I stand by that word. This has been terrible. It was rolled out. It was paused. It was on the chopping block, I believe, at one point. Then it was extended. The amnesty period was extended. The budget numbers are low. There's lots of problems with this program, all of which to say, and I have harped on this many times, this is not going to solve the firearm crime that we are having in our communities. It's not. These guns, well, yeah, from time to time they're used in the commission of a offense. They're not the predominant problem. And you will hear that from police leaders. You will hear that from people in the industry. Yet, this seems to be an obsession of the federal government. So, we have watched some back and forth between our provincial government and the federal government on this issue. We've had Robert Freeburg on the program many times, Saskatchewan's firearms commissioner, to talk about this. Yesterday, some new legislation was introduced, and so I thought this is a good time to check in with the Saskatchewan Firearms Office. We've got Commissioner Robert Freeburg and Senior Legal Counsel for the Saskatchewan's Firearms Office, Blaine Bevan, joining us this morning. Robert, Blaine, thanks so much for being here.
Good morning, Evan. Good morning to your listeners.
Okay, so can we just rewind a little bit? The first step that the province took was to say, okay, we can't stop the feds from doing this, but we can put in place a licensing regime if you want to come to the province. Can you maybe take us back there, Robert?
Sure. And I'm going to go back and forth a bit with Blaine because we cover some critical points here with the legislation on the legal side. But just to give you some background, so we did set it up so that for the federal government to come in and seize firearms, they had to be licensed and have licensed seizure agents working for them or working with them. And those seizure agents would be responsible for ultimately making sure that the stakeholder was paid. What's happened is the federal government hasn't licensed anyone, hasn't put anyone in place, therefore there's no one available to actually seize the firearms, but there's also no one available to compensate the individual for the firearms. And our discussions directly with the minister, the terminology was used, first come, first serve. Saskatchewan better get on board quick or you're not going to see any money. So at the end of the day, that's not a national program. That's a selective program. And so what we've done is we've looked at this and put legislation into place now that since they don't have seizure agents in place, we still recognize that citizens who wish to comply are going to be potentially out a lot of money for their property. And so we've put in some provisions here now to allow for them to be able to claim back or make a claim to against the federal government with the support of our compensation portal to actually get paid for what they're having seized.
So can I just jump in? And there's two things there I want to dig into. The first is when you say first come, first served, like how is that even a thing with a federal program? Are you suggesting that the federal government is saying if you don't get in early enough, you still will be subject to giving up your guns. You just might not get money for them?
Absolutely. I mean, when the amnesty ends, you're going to be in a position where you're offside with the criminal code. And as much as some have indicated that, you know, we're not going to enforce that or we're not going to do anything about it, and there's been some people saying, why aren't you doing the same? We can't counsel people to commit a criminal offense.
Of course.
If people choose not to comply, then that's up to them. But at the same time, we want to provide, you know, a path forward. And what the federal government's doing is they've set up a portal. They're going to be probably announcing shortly that they want everybody that wants funding to get onto this portal and register, basically identify. But they'll then use those numbers to see whether they have enough money. But the public safety minister is very clear that they're not going back to the well once they hit that cap. That's the end of it. But now you've got everybody's name and what firearms they own. And, of course, you're going to be liable criminally if you don't turn them in. So, again, there's a very good possibility that, you know, depending on how that process rolls out and how they plan to come into Saskatchewan to actually implement it, you could be without any kind of compensation.
So clearly, the $742 million that is budgeted for this is they know, the feds have to know that's not going to be adequate.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's been many, even within their own experts, that are saying it could run in $5-6 billion, and that's what the industry is saying as well. And if and that doesn't take into account the cost of actually administering the program.
Right. So, again, today we're chatting with Robert Freeburg, who is Saskatchewan's Firearm Commissioner. We have Blaine Bevan on the line as well, Senior Legal Counsel for the Saskatchewan Firearms Office. So how are the feds valuing these firearms, and what does this new piece of legislation do to ensure that that balance is correct?
So, Evan, what we understand is the federal government's using, they've contracted with a consultant to create basically a valuation table that they are applying to the firearms. So what would happen is you'd go on their website or whatever they use for this pilot project in the Maritimes, identify what firearms you have, and then they'd identify the value they're going to pay you. And you know, whether that's actually a fair market value or not, from all the indications we've had, it seems to be very much below fair market value. There's definitely, we've heard comments, I believe, from the federal government that, you know, when they run out of money for this, they're just going to start paying people $75 to go get their guns deactivated. And then they can keep them. Then the government doesn't have the cost of destroying them, but you just have, that's all you're going to get.
You've got an expensive paperweight in your house then.
Yeah, exactly. So the point of the legislation that we've tabled in Saskatchewan is that it requires basically that the federal government's responsible for compensating people for fair market value. And we already had in the Saskatchewan Firearms Act the compensation regime in terms of evaluating what a firearm's worth, what accessories are worth, what ammunition's worth. And we have a process to do that. and we're going to be engaging with industry experts as well to provide defendable fair market value. And then the commissioner will be able to issue a certificate to anybody who applies through this program of what the fair market value is, and that certificate is admissible in court as evidence of the value. And so, the intention is to make sure people are properly compensated right. for this.
So do we think, Blaine, I mean, are we expecting, I guess, number one, the federal government to recognize these provincially issued certificates of value? And number two, this could be a wicked and arduous court process for firearm owners just to try and get that extra compensation.
We're fully expecting that the federal government will challenge this. The reality is, though, say an individual such as yourself, Evan, or one of your listeners gets our certificate from us and gives it to the feds, and the feds say, we're not paying that, and they want to sue them in court, the federal government no doubt is going to challenge the validity of our legislation. They can only do that in the course of a court action. But it won't be up to the individual person such as yourself or a listener to defend the legislation. The Saskatchewan government does that. We provide the counsel to argue about why our legislation is valid. So we fully expect that there's going to be some pushback on this. There's no doubt about it. One of the indicators of that, of course, is past performance, and the federal government has not to date even attempted to comply with our legislation that currently exists.
Blaine Bevan is my guest, senior legal counsel for the Saskatchewan Firearms Office. I've also got Robert Freeberg, who is the Provincial Firearms Commissioner. Bob, have we seen, like, I know they're doing their kind of trial out in the East Coast right now. I'm hearing rumors that as this now rolls out across Canada, there may be some direct discussions with communities, with municipalities, not going through the province. Is that something you're worried about, or have there even been indications of that in Saskatchewan?
No, none whatsoever. I mean, we have a very strong relationship, as you know, with the SACP, and we've had conversations with many of the chiefs, and no one's been made aware of this. And one of the things that I want to point out is that many of the chiefs were concerned that when the amnesty expires, what happens? These people are all offside, and now we've got a criminal code issue with people being offside with that. So what we are doing, Evan, is voluntarily, and when I emphasize that to listeners, is we will accept their firearms, we will store them for them while they're going through this process of mitigating, trying to get some compensation from the federal government so that they aren't offside, because it's not illegal for them to possess or to own the firearm. What's where the criminal code is for them to possess it. So what we are going to do is we're going to assist with that. So along with the evaluation process, we're also going to assist with the storage, because this could take many years for people to go through this process.
I, as I'm listening to you, Bob, I'm just thinking, what an orchestrated administrative nightmare this has become for something that I will continue to stand up and say is going to be futile in reducing significantly crime in our community's firearm related crime, for sure. You at one time, Bob, on our program talked about, you know, as much as you're against this national buyback, you also are talking with the federal government about, look, is there a way to grandfather this? That eases it a little bit more. How have you progressed on those talks?
Well, we've had many discussions. I mean, we brought it up to senators. We brought it up to the minister. We brought it up to their officials. And some have even admitted that it's, you know, if they had it to do over, they might revisit that. But again, they have the opportunity to do it over. Mm-hmm. And again, I think at the end of the day, I think we need to take a closer look at that. But again, we'd like to see it go away entirely. But obviously, having some discussion around grandfathering, which they've done with other firearms that they chose not to like, and it's worked out quite well.
And Evan, on that point, like, we even provided a legal opinion to the feds about how to implement grandfathering, because they've made changes to the legislation since they brought these OICs in, which make it more difficult. I think they've done that purposefully, but to grandfather firearms. But we've provided them with the legal avenue to do that, but there's been very little interest or uptake.
Before we wrap up our chat, I know once the piece of legislation was opened to make this a change that we're just talking about this morning, there was a couple of other changes. Bob, anything you want to highlight in terms of the provincial legislation?
Well, one of the things I want to just point out to your listeners and to firearms owners and non-firearms owners is that the whole purpose of this is public safety. And our legislation has been focused on that from day one and continues to be. So a couple of things we've added in. We've added in the ability to, and I'll have Blaine speak to it, provide some coverage for medical professionals. And we've also put some language in around range inspections and also around the licensing of firearms instructors. But again, around a public safety matter.
Yeah, and on that, Evan, I know I'll be brief, but the as you know, federal firearms legislation is not greatly drafted, and there's a lot of gaps. One of the interesting gaps is for range approvals, there's no inspection authority to do it. It's expected that it's all done on paper, but we know that to make sure ranges are being built and used safely, we have to go out and look at them. So we're providing the authority for the chief firearms officer to do that because we're seeing out east especially, ranges pushing back and saying, you can't come and inspect my range. We haven't had that happen in Saskatchewan yet, but we want to make sure we're covered legally so when we tell someone we're going to do something, we have the authority to back it up. Likewise, for certifying instructors, there's no criteria laid out in federal firearms legislation about how to do that, what an instructor is, or how you decide how to certify them, and especially when you have instructors who maybe don't follow the rules and do things incorrectly, how you decertify them. Mm-hmm. So we're going to fill those legislative gaps. And then, of course, we want to make sure medical professionals know that they're immune from liability if they wish to report a public safety concern, because that was raised specifically by the Sask Health Authority to us, and so we're being responsive to that request.
Blaine, Robert, always appreciate having you on the program. Thanks for giving us the update this morning.
Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, Evan.
Robert Freeberg, Saskatchewan Firearms Commissioner. Blaine Bevan, Senior Legal Counsel for the Saskatchewan Firearms Office. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.